It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Niler 9 podcast. It is episode 109 of the Niler 9 podcast, and it is myself, Niler 9, and Andrea Cleary talking new music every week. Andrea, how are you?
I'm very good, Niler.
You're very calm.
I'm experiencing a lot of inner peace right now.
We're on Zoom, as is the custom these days, and Andrea is practically so zen, she looks distracted. I would say.
No, I'm not distracted. I'm focusing. So I've taken up a new craft. I say a new craft. I don't have any crafts. I've taken up a craft and I've begun knitting. And I'm knitting a scarf, which Niall can see now. It's not quite a scarf yet. It's more just a red rectangle. But it's bringing me a lot of mindful focus on the tasks that I'm doing. So listening to the album that we're going to review later, Future Islands, I just sat and knitted and listened to it, and it stopped me, you know, picking up my phone and fiddling about with my laptop and doing stuff like that. Knitting, oh my god, it's fab.
You're a new woman.
I will be knitting throughout this podcast, and I think that you will perhaps notice a newfound sense of clarity and zen from my corner anyway. Maybe not, right. Though. No pressure. No,
I look forward to that. I look forward to that. Alexa, play She's Crafty by the Beastie Boys.
Oh, please do. She's crafty.
She's just my type. She's crafty. You're in a zen kind
of
mood.
Yeah, and you're in good form today.
I am.
You're in flying
If we're going to talk reasons to be cheerful, I have the ultimate reason to be cheerful today.
The big one.
Got a negative back on a COVID test.
Whoop, whoop. Excellent.
So very happy with myself today. Fully was dreading getting a result.
I'm happy for you
too. Because I was a close contact. So do not have COVID. And like you said, this is what's the best thing you could actually hope for right now.
Like there's no better news than I don't have COVID-19.
No, he's like, I don't have COVID-19. Yeah. Thanks.
Because it must have been a stressful, albeit like short but stressful period of time when you thought you might have it. So
yes, it was very stressful. I actually my Alexa in the room played She's Crafty by the Beastie Boys.
Thank you, Alexa. That's what happened.
That did work. That worked.
You have an Alexa.
Alexa, what's a crack? She's feeling absolutely fabulous.
She understands what's the crack. I don't like it. I can't believe you have an Alexa.
Yeah, I use it to play audiobooks, mostly. That's the only thing I use it for.
Can she hear me when I'm talking, or am I just in your earphones?
No, you can't. You can't be heard, only by these ears here and everyone out there.
Good. And the people who listen to this podcast.
If everyone shouts loud enough who's listening to this,
I might hear them. Yeah, no, I don't like Alexa.
You might be heard.
I don't like her at all.
Oh, listen, I get it. I bought it a few years ago, and I don't buy Amazon products now, but I still use it. Yeah. So there you go. Fair. I mean, the whole idea was to reduce, and you know, you're in a very zen mood. We're talking about, you know, things you can do to make yourself feel good, and you know, not using your phone too often is another one. And when I bought the Alexa, the main reason was to not use my phone as a sleep alarm or anything like that, yeah, or to have it beside my bed. That's all gone out the window this mm-hmm. year. But there was a good period of time where I was not using my phone before bed.
See, my phone is practically unusable at the moment. It's quite old. It was given to me by my housemate when I lost my old work phone.
Just put it in the bin.
But that's the thing. It's like, I don't have any apps on it. I have an alarm clock. I have one of those ones that do the natural light in the morning. So I'm like, and my boyfriend keeps saying to me, would you like a new phone for Christmas as your Christmas present? And I'm like, no. I really like not having, if anything, this is too high tech for me at the moment. I am completely regressing during this lockdown. I want to become fully analog at some stage in the future. I hate my phone.
I think there's quite a lot of people who are like
that,
actually. I
think so. Yeah. And I've, you know, using my record player more.
My housemate has a very old iPhone. Mm. And he's very happy with it.
I like it. As long as I can get emails and text and WhatsApp on it, I'm kind of happy. Everything else, I'm not really that bothered with anymore. No.
The camera.
I have a camera. Sometimes. I'll just take photos with that.
That's true.
Like, yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about music.
Are we?
Yes,
oh, yes,
we
music.
Are.
Yeah, so this episode, we're going to be talking to Loa and Bantam, the collaborative artists who have done lots of stuff together. They're going to be checking in with us in a little bit and talking about their new track, NGLA, along with a lot of the other things they've been doing. We might even talk a bit about, I don't know, the budget, you know, how it affects music and artists and all that kind of stuff, how they're doing in lockdown and with restrictions, COVID restrictions, how creativity is affected, all that kind of stuff. Because we've talked a lot to backstage people really this year about how things are in terms of music and you know, what needs to be done. As I was saying on Twitter yesterday, like, I'm just so sick of writing about funds and grants and like governmental like PDFs and links and, like, you know, statements that I'm just like, oh, it'd be really nice to just talk about music again.
Yeah.
So we will be checking in with Loa and Bantam in a while about that. And we'll be reviewing Future Island's sixth album, As Long As You Are, the brand new album that came out last week from the Baltimore, now foursome synth pop band. So we'll be talking about that as well.
Before any of that, though, have you heard about the Lenny Abrahamson and Bono film that isn't happening, but was...
I saw one tweet about Lenny Abrahamson and Bono today, and I was like, what's that about?
So basically, the SundayWorld.com just wrote an article about how Normal People's Lenny Abrahamson planning to turn Bono's childhood into a Hollywood blockbuster. The Oscar-nominated director has the Irish TV industry speaking in corners over his plans to create a unique film broken up into three parts, which he hopes will have global appeal. Filmed in Ireland, the project will focus on the early life of Bono, opting to focus on his childhood growing up in Dublin and the early relationships he formed with bandmates Larry, Adam and Edge. A well-placed industry insider told SundayWorld.com that while the project is in its infancy, there is already, quote, major international interest in the project. So Lenny Abrahamson has since tweeted a link to this article with the tweet. Not sure where this came from, but it's the first I heard of it. I've never even considered doing anything remotely like this. Not a thing, as the young people say. And it's just been very funny. I don't know who this well... Do you know any this well-placed industry insider? I'm very interested to learn who that is.
No, but I can ask around.
Do ask around. Yeah, I'm very interested in how this... Because it's not just, you know, like, oh, has been linked on a project. It's like, it's a three-part project. It will focus on his childhood. There's quite a few details.
Maybe they just got the name wrong. Maybe they just got the director wrong completely.
Oh.
Maybe it's somebody else.
Do you think so? No, because they led with the, like, Normal People thing. So, I don't know. Maybe Sally Rooney's writing a book about Bono. Maybe that's where they got it from.
a trilogy about Bono.
I'd read anything Sally Rooney writes. So yeah, I'd probably read it, to be honest.
As long as it features Orange Man this time.
Oh, that whole thing was
rewrite his history.
Yeah. Who was it that said that about Bono?
Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aww. So what did he say? I didn't have Orange Men beating me up when I was growing up in Dublin. Clearly, you know. I mean, it's easily
God
done.
God bless him. Like, it's so he's well from meaning. New Jersey. But God,
that's like me doing a caricature of Tony Soprano and saying, "Oh, you must know these guys." You know, like people like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's
like
he got his geography wrong.
I grew up near the area where Bono grew up, and there weren't many Orange Men running around Finglas East. Let me tell you.
Maybe in the summer there was with their tops off, but maybe more reddish.
And Bono is, of course, before my time because I'm young.
So that's it. Yeah, you've taken up knitting. We're in the knitting phase of
lockdown.
Lockdown.
There should be some kind of corner on this podcast where it's like, what nonsense is Andrea up to this week? Because I seem to come at this with a
did you bake anything?
Different fad every week. No, I haven't baked anything in a while. I made a crumble a couple of weeks ago, but no, I'm falling out of the baking thing. But I aim to bake a pie soon. So
more
on that as we get it.
I just got into plants.
Yeah.
I've gone into potted plants. That's what I've gone
That's
into.
That's fair.
You know, all about controlling your environment because it's about the only thing you can control.
Yeah.
In 2020, because everything else is a shit show.
Yes.
So, with that in mind,
I think our choice songs this week are particularly good, actually. So, yes.
Do you want to? Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with Sharon Van Etten. Let Go, and I'll tell you all about it.
So, Andrea, Sharon Van Etten has a new song out. Tell me more about it.
Right? I like this for a few reasons. First of all, I think it's my favourite song that she's put out in a while, actually, and that's saying a lot. It's extremely just atmospheric and very, very pretty. And it, when you listen to the full song, it really builds up on that gorgeous kind of ascending melody that you heard there in the... kind of alternating between the guitar and the piano. It's so, so beautiful. But the other reason why I love this song is because it was written for a new documentary that's coming out called Feels Good Man, which is a documentary about the internet meme Pepe the Frog that is coming out this Friday. And basically how Pepe the Frog, which is something I'm really, really interested in, is the kind of the co-option of memes and how they're used as dog whistles by the alt-right on the internet. That's like, I'm just really fascinated by that whole thing. So basically, Pepe the Frog started out as this very, very innocent internet comic. And then 4chan got a hold of it. And it has gone through a few different kind of journeys and is now kind of, well, it is now very much a similar, like it is used a lot by... the alt-right, and it's really sad that it's happened. So basically this documentary follows the guy who created Pepe the Frog, who is just from what I can gather from the trailer, is just this really nice guy who is an artist and likes to make comics, and he just wants, he I think basically wants to reclaim Pepe for goodness and for light, which is very sweet. So Sharon Van Etten said about this, she said, after watching the documentary, I just followed the feeling of coming to terms with something and tried to evoke peace through my melody and words. The song and film's producer, Giorgio Angelini, was a great collaborator and communicator, and I was given a lot of freedom. That says a lot about the film and the people who made it. And I just think, you know, it's such strange bedfellows, a documentary, which is done really well at Sundance, I think, about Pepe the Frog and the alt-right and a Sharon Van Etten song written for that purpose. And that the Sharon Van Etten song sounds like this. It's just, it's very, very strange, but really beautiful as well. I think I think there's a lot in the song. There's a lot of kind of compassion for how he kind of created something and then lost it, and it's not anything like what I would imagine a musician coming to this story producing from it. It's really beautiful. I really, really love this song.
I actually didn't know this existed. It was one of those, you know, you miss these things.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know.
Yeah.
When did it come out?
Yesterday or the day before, I think. Very recently. Okay. Yeah.
Still, you know, I'm when you're actively looking at music all day and you're looking at music sites and Spotify and everything, and you're like, you still miss
what it. I would recommend doing the next time you're bringing Dafo out, if you have Dafo at the moment, if you're in the park or something, just pop it on while you're like outside rambling. It's a very nice song to walk around to, very kind of introspective and pretty.
Another reason to be cheerful this week that came out, two songs from Julia Jackler this week, both as part of the Sub Pop Singles Club. And as you know, Julia is one of our faves. And so it was great to have her back. This is a song called Cry. That's Julia Jackson. The song is called Cry, and straight away there what I'm hearing is a fine example of very specific but universal songwriting. Immediately gets you with that line, hiding my depression from my housemates.
I don't know them well enough yet to cry in my kitchen. It's fantastic. I think Julia, so she's put out two songs, is this one, and then I think it's to Perth Before the Border Closes, which is also excellent. But I said I'd feature this one just because I think she's balanced humor really, really well in this. Like, I mean, obviously that opening line is fantastic and does really grab you. But you know, the whole song is about kind of, I imagine, you know, being locked down with people and not being able to connect with them because either they're new or maybe they're in a couple and you're not, which is my kind of situation, and just kind of having this disconnect from the people that you're living with somewhat. And she's got this great lines later, go use your head, buy another loaf of bread. When I walk back through the door, I'll say you can never have too much bread. I'll make them food, I'll make them laugh, I'll say I'll clean up, you should get an early night. And it's just a very specific situation that I don't know if I've heard in a song before, and it's very specific.
It's very country, isn't
it? It is, yeah.
It's very like, the only thing is missing here is like, you know,
a little slide guitar or something.
But that kind of like, they're really leaning into it, like, you know, my partner has left me, or I've left, you know, my dog has died or something like that. It's a bit like that. It's like, you know, holding on to the sink and crying.
I think she said that it was inspired by Dolly Parton's music, which I can definitely hear. And I think
No better woman
at all. I've been listening to a lot of Dolly lately, actually. But I think as well in her vocals, she sounds at times a little bit like Mitski, which I don't mind at all. But yeah, I think the song is fantastic. It's that kind of funny, like, you know, the feeling if you're just in Lidl and you're crying. I don't know. Like you're just in Lidl.
I've never cried in a
and
Lidl
you just start
now,
crying. So. Maybe it wasn't a Lidl. I have cried in a supermarket before, not for a while now, but just sort of been like
crying in a KFC.
Yeah. Oh well. Perhaps. Yeah. That universal
that's
feeling.
Much more visceral.
But yeah.
But funny you should mention Dolly Parton. It reminds me a little bit of that song, the Bargain Store. You know.
Yes. Yeah. 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 It is. It is quite like that. It's brilliant. I really love it. And so she doesn't have a music video, as far as I know, for this one, but she did self-direct a video for To Perth Before the Border Closes. It's very, very good. Again, little sprinklings of humour throughout while also being quite melodramatic and just a lot of crying, a lot of loneliness while kind of being funny at the same time. Spiky, I would say. It's good.
Spiky, yeah. Lovely maudlin kind of funny.
Yes.
Song,
yeah.
Gentle. I love it. It's very good. Okay, we're going to bring it back home for the next two songs for Songs of the Week. Our first song is from Erica Cody featuring Hair Squad. This is Calculated.
I'm tired of making everybody feel better. Sometimes I do the most and sometimes I say whatever. I never feel better. Not helping myself, not feeling myself. You could punch me in the face, just don't shoot me in my back. Trespassing my feelings, what did you gain from that? Crossing my mind, I'm reading the signs while my feelings multiply. Do the math because you're calculated, calculated. You got my mind, I'm frustrated. Changing paces, losing patience, and I can't explain it. I can't explain it, since it got so calculated. Yeah, sometimes I say that I miss you, but when I say I love you, say I'm gone against you, and then you say you cannot commit to. Never helping yourself, not feeling yourself, no. I could air your shit, write it out in white and black. Hurt in my heart, what could I gain from that? It crossed my mind, I read all the signs. How you just threw me to the side and fed me.
Okay, there's a new song from Erica Cody called Calculated, featuring Hair Squad, Lilo Blues specifically. And Erica has been in the news this year for mostly her thoughts about the Irish Black Lives Matter movement. But this is actually the first single she's released since then. And this is just a lovely, lovely R&B pop song. I like the feature on it. For me, Erica is the thing that carries this song more than anything else. I think it's her vocals is what steps up to the mark for me, and I really enjoy it. And we're actually premiering the video tomorrow. That's Thursday. So you can watch that as well on the site, which is cool. It's a very good video.
Yeah, I really like this. I like that it kind of harkens back to a more old school. I say old school now, I mean kind of like late 90s R&B sound.
Yeah,
I definitely think
there's a lot of it at the moment.
This could be a cut off like a Destiny's Child album or something. And I think there's moments when her voice kind of sounds a little bit like Kelly Rowland. And I'm like, I really like that. I love this sound for her. I really hope she's got like a big album coming, because I'm so ready for Erica Cody to like just completely smash it, you know. And I think that this is great.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, and good to see her back making music again after, you know, not just known for her thoughts and opinions, which are also very valid. But, you know, she's known as a musician first. So great to see that.
Yeah.
And more coming hopefully this year. Okay, our last song from Songs of the Week this week is, I'll play it first and then we'll talk about it after. This is from a band called Sprints. Song is called Drones.
The graveyard's filled, the dance floor is filled, the bar stool is filled, but everyone's empty. The desk chairs filled, the sick bed
Okay, that was a song called Drones by a band called Sprints, who are from Dublin. They are a four-piece, and there's no getting past the fact that this sounds like girl band. But I think it's interesting that, you know, for all the talk of girl band being an inspiration on the likes of Fontaine's DC and everyone else, really, people often cite them. But actually, this is the closest I've heard so far from an Irish artist, Irish band, four-piece. Carla Chubb, Colm O'Reilly, Jack Callan and Sam McCann. Yeah, this is definitely girl band inspired. And actually, that seems fair because it was produced by Daniel Fox of Girl Band.
Ah.
So it would make sense that it sounds a bit like Girl Band. So interesting thing to hear there. You know, you can definitely, if you reimagine that song as girl band doing it, you can hear a girl band song, you know, you can hear in the vocal delivery and all that kind of stuff, you can hear that happening. It is from an EP called Manifesto, out on Nice Swan Records, the UK label, later this month, I believe. And this just stood out to me last week. You should watch the video. It's a great video. Really, really good. One of the best Irish music videos I've seen in a while. Just really clever, really stylish, and yeah, really cool. I liked it a lot. And I think, obviously, you've got Daniel Fox from Girl Band producing your song that sounds like Girl Band. I think they're okay with it. So I presume
I imagine there's some kind of a seal of approval thing going on there. So this was actually a late addition to the playlist. So hearing it there was my first time hearing it. And yeah, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for more women in this genre because it has been a bit of a sausage fest so far. So fair. Yeah, I really like the sound of this. Her vocals are great. It's like, I think, I don't want to do the thing where I'm on about Fontaine's DC, but I'm going to do it anyway. The thing that does kind of bother me about Fontaine's DC and some bands that kind of come out of that girl band tree of life, they're like
stream, let's stream, call it a stream.
Is that sometimes their vocals, because they're quite, they're kind of talky and conversational, they can sound a bit like flat and not very energetic. But she's got a great liveliness and buoyancy to her voice, and it's still tonally quite interesting while also being that sort of like in genre talkative kind of thing, which I really, really like. So yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's got loads of imagination, got loads of verve, got loads of poise.
Yeah.
It doesn't really sound like a retread. I have to say, this is my favorite song that there's heard so far. They had another song which I wasn't really mad on.
Okay.
I think it was, what's it called? It's called The Cheek, I believe. I think The Cheek was the one. Wasn't mad on that one so much. It went too far into the exuberance for me, but I think this is much more a nice balance of restraint and exuberance. So I'm a big fan of this one.
Sweet.
Okay. It is time to talk to two people that we have talked about and sometimes with.
Oh, actually, yesterday last year, we hosted our live show at the Cork Podcast Festival with Rory Bantam. So yeah, 13th of October last year, because I remember it because it's the second spookiest date of the year.
Ah, very good. So yeah, so we're going to be talking now to Rory Bantam, the Cork producer, and his close collaborator Loa. Both of them have, I'd say, how many songs have they done now together?
Million and a half.
I think it's four or five. I think there's a bigger project on the way. So we will get the full story direct from both of their mouths and talk to them about how 2020 has been going. And first, here is a listen to a little bit of the song they released last week, which is NGLA.
Years ago, you remember where we met, the colors in my head, the shape of my dress, and here we are, it's the memory you prefer, your vision of the girl, not the one you're watching burn. If you're sure that you have nothing to give, and you don't miss me when I'm not here, and losing me don't cause you fear, well, you know,
I guess, Sally, I know for a fact that you were not supposed to be even in Ireland in the first place. So maybe we'll start with that.
Yeah, I've been renditioned, but to stay in the same place. So I was intending to emigrate to the States in March. And actually, my flight was booked for the day of lockdown that it started, the 16th of March. Yeah. So I made a call like a few days before, maybe the Thursday. Am I going to go to New York or not? And the couple I was going to live with in New York were like, yeah, you might not want to come. New York's pretty crazy right now. And we're not feeling that well. I was like, you know, I think I'll stay home. And so it sort of happened, you know, I guess I postponed my flight by 3 weeks. How naive I was.
I think we all did something like that where, you know, I had a friend who was having a birthday party the day after Paddy's Day. And she was like, I'm just going to book it again for next month instead. And we were like, oh, it'll be fine by then.
Yeah. So it was pretty weird, I guess, because I'd like emotionally, mentally and logistically checked out of Ireland. And I was going to set up in New York and I have a visa for a few years and then planning to go to LA after that and just get set up in the system, in the music industry there. I was just going to work there ad infinitum. A lot of things have been leading me to that point anyway, but that didn't happen. So, and you know what, like maybe it's not the worst time not to be in the States. Because I would have been on the streets and, you know, it mightn't have been that safe. So I think my mum would have been a little concerned for my welfare. So, you know, it's happened the way it's happened. And I'm actually glad to be here because it's been really nice to get to frontline and, you know, be a part of what's happening in Ireland, which is super cool as well.
And Rory, you are working away in Cork at the moment. So how's it been for you in terms of the last 6 months? Let's talk about music and specifically, because obviously you guys always had a close partnership. So there are some positives here. There are some positives in terms of you guys working together more. So tell me a bit about how that came back again together this year, because it wasn't that long ago when you had songs out. Like last year, you had two songs out, right?
Yeah, well, I guess like going back to the last 6 months, I remember taking 3 days off work to, first of all, to release Gully, that single I released early in the year, and also to travel up to Dublin to play that gig with God Knows and Denise that you were putting on. Yeah, and I never went back to my office after that, you know. Or I released that single like the day the pandemic was confirmed. That gig was cancelled. I lost my job about 6 weeks later, somehow got another one, released another single. What else? Worked on two short films. Just kept going, I guess. You know, there's been highs and lows, you know, flatmates have moved out, people moved in. But we've always just kept at the music, you know. Kept it up. I remember being like really productive at the very start of this and then getting really tired in the middle of it. And and now recently, I'm, you know, the energy is coming back again just to, well, I'm always making music, but it's just come back a bit more lately, you know. So it's been an intense year, but you know, I'm healthy. Everyone around me is so far. So,
Well, to answer your question, your original question, Niall, certainly, like interestingly, Rory and I have been working on songs for probably 2 years. It's definitely a year before we released April Brave, and I guess, because I was going to the States, things were gonna be all, we kind of work online anyway, we've always had like a pandemic collaboration approach because we have lived in different cities. So the fact that I was going to be gone wasn't going to make any difference. It's just always a much slower process when things are online because you can't just sit in the room and go through everything, so the process takes a while. And then I guess with this year we were like, here, well, we're still, I'm here, let's just like finish some of this stuff. So we have been, and you know, we have way more music that we've made together than what we've released or may ever release, you know. It's just really fun to work together, and it's just one of those things that always for some reason, very unexpected for both of us. I think we just always come up with really good shit when we work together, if I may say so.
I want it. I like it. That's the way to do it. So say like in March or whatever, start of the year, you know, your plans weren't to really, were there plans to do more, release more? But now you have a more of a mixtape coming, right?
Yeah, a mixtape. We kind of have toyed with the idea on and off because, you know, Rory is like a producer first and foremost. I'm a songwriter and there is that dichotomy because I do a lot of collaborations and I'm starting to work on my first debut record finally because I never felt like I was ready to do that. I didn't know what I wanted it to sound like. So it seemed silly to make a record that I didn't believe. And I'm getting closer to that point now, but that has only come from the process of like working with so many people in so many genres. So that question was, okay, will we like release an album together or nothing ever again? Like there really aren't any rules for us because we're both, you know, indie in that way. But I think what has driven it is like, oh, we really want people to hear this, you know? Like, I just want people to tap the crack and dance in their kitchen to this, even if it's just my mates. Even more so because, you know, they're just alone at home right now that I want them to hear what we've made. So we kind of came to a compromise of like, let's just make a little EP mixtape thing.
When is that going to come out, guys?
Well, before the end of the year. So I'm not going to give you a date.
That's
but
exciting.
Before the end of the year, yeah.
No, I insisted on a date. I insisted.
You can't always get what you want.
Yeah, I know. That's good. Even wanting more. Well, we fast forward then to where we're at now in terms of, like, we thought we'd wait to discuss budgetary stuff. The budget 2021 with you guys, just to, you know, I want to get an artist's perspective on things a bit more because I was saying on Twitter yesterday, I just feel like I've been writing about grants and schemes and funds for the entire year and restrictions and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to get back to writing about music, but I want to hear from you guys about, like, were you paying attention to the budget thing? Was it important to you? Were you, what did you think of it? Like, what, basically, there was a lot of things announced for the live stimulus package, the recording grants, which directly benefits people who, songwriters and recording artists and production engineers, studios, all that kind of stuff. But there's also the live music. I mean, the live music thing is the thing that we're all missing, right? I mean, you were talking there about the gig. We had to push a year apart, a year away from its original date, Rory, which is going to happen eventually. But you must be really missing that stuff. And like, how does any of the budget stuff, like, make you feel any way positive about it?
I haven't had a chance to like sit down with the budget over the last 2 days fully. You know, I mean, I've just been loosely following the responses online to it. I know like our good friend Rob Farhat was commenting on it today on Twitter as well. You know, and it's a good, you know, it's a sign of good work on the Campaign for the Arts side of things. I think that's great. But let's just hope that, you know, this extra income goes to artists who really need it, you know. I mean, I know a few friends of mine down in Cork have commented on it as well, how it's the age old argument, you know, that arts funding goes to the more classical, traditional styles of music, whereas there's a lot more going on. So it's something I agree with too. I think, you know, I do hope that more funding goes to more, I wouldn't say niche artists, you know, this isn't even niche artists that we're talking about. These are proper musicians, artists in their own rights. I just hope the funding gets distributed evenly.
Yeah. I think it's great. You know, I think that it's stuff like this should have been there all along. And this, I hope that this moment and the how popular the stimulus package has been, and the fact that it's been extended by a year, because I looked out for it yesterday when they announced it, is pretty cool because it's sort of like this. You see, guys, this is how you stimulate the arts. You know, you have to put in the financial investment like any other sector to get the rewards down the line. So you don't starve at the beginning and expect a feast at the end, you know? So I think that if this goes successfully, and I know like with these things, numbers are required to prove a point, but it has really motivated so many artists to like be really consistent, like put in applications, make work and things to show for it. Not just tip along from gig to gig, slowly piecing things together, but like think in a bigger scale on a budget. Tree scale, which is amazing. And I think we haven't necessarily had the liberty to do that, artists who are outside of the traditionally funded areas. So this is really cool, and I kind of hope it remains this way afterwards, you know.
I think in terms of Irish music though, we're having this year has just brought up a lot of different kinds of conversations that we've just never had in this country before, like the Irish Women in Harmony thing, like the representation of Black artists, and like just conversations that are all kind of happening at once, and especially things like funding and the amount of stimulation that the arts actually gives the economy, and that artists are actually business people and they're self-employed people who need help just like everybody else. It's interesting that it's just all happening at once, which I think is good in a way, because it's kind of like it's the opportunity to just lay all your cards out on the table and say, hey, this is what I'm earning, it's not enough. And with like even before the pandemic, this is what I'm earning, it's not enough. How can you help me? Because you as in the government, you're piggybacking off my art and my industry for tourism and for this sense of Ireland as being full of artists and stuff. So I think it's great, and I think it's been led by people like yourselves and just people in the music industry who have kind of said like enough is enough here. We actually need a bit of a hand, you know, and we're working, this isn't our hobby.
So true. Yeah.
Can we talk a bit about NGLA then, the process for that song, because that's the most recent one. It's a banger. Thanks.
Thank you.
Absolute banger. I was like you said earlier, like bopping around your kitchen. I was bopping around my bedroom to it earlier. I was having a great
I'm high fiving you over the Zoom wave.
it's such a banger. Yeah, how does that work? What's that process like? Who kicks it off?
Usually,
yeah. Well, I wrote this when I moved back to Cork. It was like the first month. The name for the initial demo was Bandon Demo or Bandon Jam or something, because I was in my folks' place in Bandon. I wrote a load of stuff in that month or two, actually, but that was one of them. But it's, you know, we've followed a similar process that we've had for years. You know, I'll jam some ideas, put them together in a little SoundCloud playlist, and I'll send them to Sal, and Sal will go yay or nay pretty quick. We'll continue from there, you know. I was taken back on this, actually. One thing we did do is we put together a massive Spotify playlist of songs and influences that we just dove into, you know, for ideas. Because we do share this love of the neo-soul wonky funk style of music, you know. So I haven't looked at this playlist in a while, actually. I must dig it out again. But what I used to do is I'd go into that and look at different tunes, different ideas, and just jam along to them and see what happens. You know, that's usually the way I work anyway. There's a lot of just, let's see, you know, there's no real premeditation. So we took it from there. That was about 2 years ago. It was a long time ago. And we just tipped away at it since. I know I spent some time in Dublin last year driving up and down to be in the studio with Sal and with Dylan Wastefellow and Sam Killeen as well. That's how we pretty much kind of molded the track, you know. This year then we've been it's been more remote, working with mastering and mixing engineers and things like that, you know. I suppose the final stage of the process, you can do that, but definitely the initial stages were, it started remote, then we got into the room, and then it ended remote again, funnily enough.
My part, I either write directly to the track, but for this one, I actually, and the reason we christened them Sad Bangers is because I had a really slow, mournful folk guitar song that was called Never Gonna Love Again, and it was really sad. I was like, oh, hell no, I'm never going to perform this live. So hang on, wait a minute, Rory sent me that banging loop there. Hang on. Wait a minute. It's just going to work. It was such a perversion of the original sentiment of both tracks. But yeah, that's why I love it. It's one of those things that you just would never happen if you were working on your own. And then in the process of making these last couple of tracks, like April Grey was last year and Summer of Love, my sister is a producer as well, and she has, I've wrote Beda. Yes, she's really, really dope producer and super creative. So I've roped her in over the last like 2 years into producing my vocals for me, because I have really specific things that I want. You know, there's a whole world of like vocal production, which is all these little freaky little bits that come in and out, and like sampling the harmonies and weird voices. And so she was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. So she has produced all my vocals, and that was kind of like adding in a third pair of ears, like added this sort of marinade to it, and then bringing in the other producers, like Rory mentioned, Sam and Dylan. It's really just about like getting them in, going, any little sparkles you hear, because the song's written, but I think it elevates it again when you just get a couple more heads in the game before it goes to press.
And I suppose being independent, you kind of have that opportunity to just be like, oh, I think this guy would be good here, or I think this girl would be good here, and you just have the opportunity to kind of like send it to other people. Whereas if you're like tied into a label or something, it's just like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, Bob Gallagher's in there as well. I mean, and your brother.
Oh yeah, my brother. My brother sings, maybe this is all I deserve. Yeah. It's so heartbreaking. I made him sing about two octaves higher than his normal range.
It's the definition of a sad banger, because I remember the first time I was listening to it, I was like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, hang on. Oh God, feelings. Yeah. Why am I crying on the dance floor again? I have to stop this.
Yeah.
That's your favorite mode, Andrea.
It is.
Crying in the club. Didn't you want to do one of those club nights once? You're like,
yeah, I've never DJed or done anything in my life, but I got this into me one day where I was like, I just want to do a crying in the club night and just invite everybody to just have a really sad time, but together. And
turns out you didn't have to
because of the pandemic. Yeah. Maybe I'll do a live stream.
Yeah.
Cry with Ray.
Yeah, the sad room. When it comes back.
The sad room.
The sad banger room.
It's just me reading a book.
Alone with Deep Thon.
There's no music. Just come in, have a break, be sad, have a smoke.
Oh, hilarious.
Oh. I like that idea. I'm into it.
I'll be there.
You're more than welcome to play the original version of the track, the acoustic guitar version. Yeah, we'll have that.
Also, should say the artwork is best artwork of the year. That's absolutely incredible. Tell me a bit of background about that shot and where.
Yes.
Please.
The shot. So, you know, I had always, so my friend who designed the pink jumpsuit is a really close friend of mine, and that's her horse as well. So it was kind of like artwork made possible by Sal's friend, Violet. but we have like been friends for a long time. And we've been discussing this concept of like the pink and the white and the pony and Tiernanogue into the West. And then me being like really at odds with this like very Irish thing, and it was a whole conversation happening over a long period, and Elias was in some ways part of this conversation. So it took us a little while. We actually shot it a few months prior, and it didn't work, so we shot it twice in a different location. And there's more to the image, and in the sense that there was more captured that day. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
It reminded me a lot of what Solange did in her visual album with the cowboys. Remember that, like they're all like coming in on horses and having like a stark contrast with like the, I think they were in like some kind of a like parking lot or something like that. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, I love it. It's such a stunning picture. It's so cool.
Oh, listen, it was like heaven shooting it. And you know, aside from a picture, there's always like certain amount of chaos in the vicinity of a picture, but it actually felt very much like being in that moment was as the way it feels, the way it looks is the way it felt.
And it
certainly was not uninspired by the kind of Texan Southern riders, you know, because I've been thinking a lot about like Southern riders. There's also like horse riders from Dahomey, which is now Benin in Africa. And there's kind of a really interesting long-standing like culture of African horse riding and Arabian. And because we have this Irish version of what our relationship with horses and what they mean to us, but there's also like an African version and there's the Native American. So it's just like, let's go shoot on a horse. Let's just start the combo, you know, get everyone on horses.
I love that.
Like, are you missing gigs as much as I am? I can only speak for myself. I think for me, the last 6 months has been an optimistic, I've had this optimism in me about when things are going to come back and the last month I've had to accept, you know, the optimism that I have is unfounded and it needs to go away to a certain extent. But, you know, there is there is some sort of positivity in that itself to accepting these things that are happening and not kind of not necessarily going with the flow, but accepting that there's things you cannot do, the things that you keep your mental health well, the going to gigs, putting on events, all that kind of stuff, clubs, all that kind of thing. With those gone, it felt very difficult for me to catch up. And have you guys felt that at all? Have you felt the kind of, like, what has been helping you get through like this year? That's a roundabout way of asking.
Ooh, well, going back to the live gigs, the last gig I went to was the Mary Wallopers in the Kino in Cork. Yeah, socially distanced gig. I had a bit of a moment at that actually, because you know I hadn't been at a gig. That was my first proper gig all year, and up until then I think I was doing okay. And then when I went to see that gig, it all came back to me. You know, I just remember why I love going to gigs. Mary Wallopers were great, and it was lovely to sit down and watch some music live for the first time in so long. You know, I hadn't done that since January when I was in Clare at the Music Minds Festival. That was my last gig. Yeah, up until then I was okay. Then when I went to see the Mary Wallopers, it just all came back, and I'm itching to see music now. Don't know where, don't know when. But in terms of coping and things like that over the year, as I said earlier, I just dive into music. On top of that, you know, I'm always active and getting out doing, I'm always running around the place. Like Alex and Ian, my housemates, will give out to me for doing yoga for hours on end and stuff like that. So that's all fine. But yeah, it all goes back to music for me, you know. As for playing gigs, you know, I miss playing gigs, but I just love making music, you know, working on projects. So that's just always keeps me going. Always having a project on the go just keeps my mind occupied, you know. But I definitely I miss going to gigs so much. Every other weekend of the summer, you know, I'll be reminded that, you know, Electric Picnic is on this weekend, or Another Love Story is on this weekend. You'll have a little moment, you know.
Yeah, maybe is it easier now that the main festival markers are not currently happening, that you kind of just go, okay, it's a bit easier, because like, oh, you're not like, no one's going, oh, should have been a picnic, or should have been Another Love Story, or should have been this, and there should have been that. There's less of those markers at the moment because of the time of year, so maybe it's a little bit easier.
Good question. You know, yeah, our lives have been on this interesting loop for a while. So whatever feelings I had initially about gigs and is gone. I there's nothing left. I'm empty. So, but I will say that I had, you know, I got to sing with Lisa Hannigan in the Courage series in April, and even though that wasn't that long into lockdown, but we were at level 5. it was so incredible, the experience. And it sort of reminded me why we do anything, because I feel anything musical, because I feel like I'm just speaking for myself, I was probably in a pattern of like gigging, going to gigs, working on stuff, and it's all just like whatever. And I'd maybe lost a sense of the heightened intensity and experience that a gig is, which is how I would have been when I first started gigging. And they were like pretty much spiritual events for me. Whereas the more I did them, the more I started to allow them, the power of them to maybe slip away, or the importance of them. So I think this period of, like, as they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Like I'm not jumping to just start getting to just get on with it. I feel like my approach would be very different going back, and being really clear with loads of rehearsals that, you know, beforehand, what I'm preparing for and what kind of experience you want people to have.
I was doing Ireland Music Week last week, and James Byrne at the end of it all, because it was actually a really nice community vibe to the whole thing. Because, you know, while it was in a conference kind of event, you know, space, like a Zoom space, but people were chatting and, you know, saying hello to each other and pretending to get points for each other at gigs and stuff like that in the evening. But James was like, when music comes back, when all of this is over, the resilience of live music and the passion is still going to be there. So we are going to have an amazing year to look forward to. Do you know what I mean? So, like, there are things to look forward to. We do a thing called Reasons to Be Cheerful on the podcast every week, because there can be a lot of negativity, and we need to counteract that in the spirit of our patron saint, David Byrne. That's the reason we do that. So every week. So, if I could ask you, put you on the spot before I go, before I leave you go, for one reason to be cheerful right now.
So I'm working on an EP right now of music set to the poetry from the 1920s. So I've been listening to loads of old 20s blues records, and oh my God. Listen, dive in, guys.
That's a fantastic
treasure. Treasure trove.
Do you have any in particular that you'd recommend?
Mommy Smith. She's like the OG blues queen, and she's just got one of those brawny, brassy voices that pulls.
Is she also a guitarist, or am I confusing her with somebody else? I think
there's
I
don't know whether she played guitar maybe later on, but she certainly was like a blues woman, and she has tons of records, and it's just like she kind of kickstarted the wider genre in some ways at the time, because she was one of the first to be recorded. So she's amazing, and she's making me really
I think mine is my guitar at the moment.
That's a good reason.
Background there, just speaking of blues and guitars, I haven't played guitar in a long time up until lockdown, and I've gotten back into it in a big way, so that's been keeping me sane as well on top of everything. I've been revisiting like Rory Gallagher tunes that I used to play when I was a kid in bands, and lately I'm just playing I just figured out Sugar Daddy by D'Angelo, so I've just been playing that on guitar. It plays that on piano, but I figured it out on guitar. So.
But listen, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to us, and we'll chat to you soon. We look forward to the mixtape, both of
thank you.
Thank
you guys
and,
so much.
I hope you have a enjoyable rest of 2020, a roaring 2020.
If you will.
Same. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
June, 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 July. Every day belongs to you and I. It was a perfect day. That day, that day in May. I turn to you, you say, baby, you blow me away.
Queen. dance when music swells. Everybody hides here. Nothing beats how it feels. Your eyes are my skies. You're the only drug I need.
Okay, thanks to Loa and Bantam for taking the time to talk to us this week. We really appreciate it. Nice to get them both together. Okay, before we go on to albums of the this album of the week that we're going to discuss, patreon.com/Niler9 if you want to support us. Thank you so much for everyone in 2020 who has continued to support us. And it's huge for us to have your direct financial support. And as we discussed last week, Dre, you have your own newsletter, which is andreacleary.substack.com.
I do. And people have signed up. And thank you, guys. There will be my second post next week. So keep an eye on the skies or your inbox for that. And if you haven't signed up yet, you can do so for free, or you can do so for the price of a coffee or a pint. And you might get extra nice things if you do that. So just opportunity, if you like things that I do and want me to have a bit of money, I would like that too.
Support your local podcast personalities,
podcast writer people. Yes,
yeah, so they can continue to knit away
and buy wool. Yeah, yeah, you can support me for the price of like five things of yarn a month. And I'll make you a hat.
She spins a few yarns herself.
Spin a yarn, you know, or two, I've been known.
Okay, it is time for our album of the week. It is from Future Islands. It is called As Long As You Are, and it is their sixth album. They're a Baltimore synth pop band, and this is the follow-up to 2017's The Far Field and their breakthrough album Singles, which came in 2014. Gonna play a track from it first, called For Sure, and we'll come back and discuss the album. It is Future Island's sixth album. It is called As Long As You Are. Background to this band, Samuel T. Herring is the singer you've heard there. This band's breakthrough came when they appeared on David Letterman in 2014, just before their fourth album, Singles, was released. That's their worldwide breakthrough. They had always had a long history with Ireland. They've been a band that a lot of people have loved here for a long time, mainly because of Foggy Notions and Leagues O'Toole bringing them here over the years, especially on a time when there was a lot of American indie music, the likes of Deer Hunter, Future Islands, all that kind of stuff, who was coming here very regularly and playing places like Andrews Lane Theatre, and all the way up to the last time I think Future Islands played here, they supported the National in Donnybrook Stadium, and they would play those kind of big stages. They played main stage Electric Picnic. Definitely, I think Ireland were one of the first countries to really latch on to the kind of thing that they do. And what is it they do? They make epic, sweeping synth pop music, a mix of euphoric emotion, reaching atmospherics, 80s kind of synth pop, all with Samuel T. Herring's delivery, which is at once raspy and melodramatic and crooning and kind of all of those things. We'll get into that a bit more. This is their sixth album, and if I'm honest, this is exactly the same as all of their other ones recently. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I'm going to say that now because there's no point in, pretending it's not. There is nothing here for anyone who doesn't like Future Islands already. If you're looking for a way into Future Islands and you haven't found it yet, this isn't going to be it. Here we are, 3 years after The Farfield, and this is essentially a band making the same kind of album that they've made for the last 6 years. So this is their third album in a row that basically sound the same. Once they streamlined the process and made things a bit more polished and poppy, and distilled it down into something that really worked, which they did on singles, the album. Well, I think the interesting thing for me is that, you know, it's very rare that you actually, this really happens anymore, where a band essentially makes the same album over and over again.
I mean, I guess,
so from your perspective,
I guess Beach House would be a band who kind of does that, but might subtly change things. But yeah, I mean, so jumping off what you were saying about like, if you were trying to get into Future Islands, this wouldn't be the album. I do agree, because like, while, you know, I've watched that Letterman performance tons of times and it is properly stunning, and I've always kind of wanted to like this band, but I just never really sort of did it. So I listened to singles in preparation for this podcast, and I think that there are some really, really great songs on that album. And I found myself not wanting to leave it and come back to this one. And I'm really sorry for Irish fans who love this band, but I found this album a little bit of a slog and I found it difficult to get through. I think, like, I find them a very likable group and the style of music that they make is completely within my wheelhouse. So I'm finding it difficult to understand where the disconnect is for me, but I think it might be actually more to do with their production and the way they're putting their albums together as opposed to the actual music that they're making, because I think there's not a whole lot of dynamic songs on this album. I kind of feel like no matter what point of the album you're at, the volume is the same, the kind of the amount of instruments that are going on at the same time is always the same. There's very few kind of build-ups and breakdowns. It is just a kind of a consistent mediocrity that I get out of it. Ouch. And I think
I would say mediocrity is too harsh a word.
Yeah. But I mean, it's more so that like I know that there's good songs here, but it's let down by the fact that it just gets lost in the maybe I mean homogeneity of it, where it's a very similar dynamic range from song to song, so much so that, you know, it's 11 songs long. After a while you're gonna have an experience where they all start bleeding into each other and it's quite hard to tell the difference between one and another. Even points where the tempo changes, it's kind of like it's just the tempo that's changing on this album and everything else is kind of staying the same. I don't know if you had that experience with it though.
Yeah, I would say overall this is like a fun and enjoyable album, but there's very little of it that would surprise anybody who's familiar with the band. But then even anyone who's not familiar with the band, you're getting the same old template here from start to finish. You're getting that plucked low bass sound that happens a lot in terms of pushing the rhythm on. Drums very much clear and supportive, not much happening in terms of crashes and cymbals and stuff like that. There's like very echoey guitar sounds that kind of repeat after the Samuel T. Herring's vocals, which are raspy and bleeding heart and all the things.
I think his vocals are great here, but his vocals are always great. He's a great lyricist.
Well, not as great lyricist, he's a great singer.
Yes.
I don't really know what he's singing about.
Yeah.
Because it's all very generic in a way that's like, here's something I wrote in 2014 about singles. And he's like, his eccentric vocal delivery, whether he's whispering, skulking, brooding, wailing, growling, crooning, or delivering a monologue like David Bowie in Labyrinth. It's all the same here as well.
Yeah.
There's very little difference. And like, here's a singer who can do all of those, but it all is pushing into that same box, same range, same dynamic range, same template, same thing. There's literally nothing new or exciting about this, but I have found this very enjoyable at the same time. When it's on, I'm like, this is really nice and I enjoy it. And then, but like, I could not remember. There's two songs that stood out to me. The one I played there for sure, but maybe because I've heard that a few times before the album came out. And then Thrill is another one because it's a bit slower and a bit more meandering. But essentially, the same synth sounds are on every track here. Everything is the same. There's nothing that will, it doesn't ever really break down to a point where you're like, oh, that's really different or that's surprising. It's exactly, when I heard, I can't remember what song they put out first because they all sound the same. But when they put out a song and announced the album, I was like, oh, they're back. It was actually For Sure, I think. So it was the first song. I've heard that the most. I was like, here's a band that haven't been around for 3 years and they just released a song that sounds like it could have been made 6 years ago. It's the same thing. And there's part of me that if I'm in the mood for it, I will want to listen to that. But I had a great time about a month ago. I was listening to a lot of my vinyl. I have Future Islands singles album on vinyl and I put that on. And I think compared to that and this album pales because it just doesn't have as many good songs on it.
It doesn't have a Seasons, you know, on it.
Well, it doesn't have Seasons, but it also doesn't have a Spirit. It doesn't have a Dream of You and Me, a Song for Our Grandfathers. None of those are really there. Like, Singles kicks and it hits you harder. And I will say this is a better album than 2017's Far Field. I think that was quite poor.
Okay.
Only one song on that even like chimed with me at all, and that was Ran. And then the other song that even stood out because it was different because it had Debbie Harry on it was Shadows. But very little here. It is a better album than the last one, but it's not a patch on their breakthrough album. I think, look, their band, Future Islands, are a band you'll go see live and you'll have a great time. And he'll you know, do his gorilla poses and his pump fists and fist pumps and things like that. He'll do all of those things and it'd be great fun. But there's very little depth in these songs. I tried to follow the lyrics today for each song and I lost interest.
Me too.
I honestly lost interest. I was like, there's nothing here. And it's interesting because we played a song earlier on today in this podcast from Julia Jacqueline, who in two lines said more for me than any of this 11 tracks here on this album.
Yeah.
It's just very, it's that kind of like, maybe you're not really listening to Future Islands for lyricism probably, but it would really help on this album if there was something that was said that you could latch onto that maybe wasn't just like this mystic kind of melodrama that seems to be at the heart of everything he's saying. Or like, I often feel like he's just like walking along a shore and monologuing to himself, or and that's kind of how his delivery is and that's how he performs it live, and it can work really well, but I just think overall at this point, album six, I needed something different from Future Islands.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like I'm happy to go along with, you know, kind of abstract staring out to the shore, what did you call it, mystic lyricism when it's done. I mean, I think he was probably listening to the Blue Nile while he was making this album. But it's like, I reckon he has such a distinctive voice that I think it's the music that's let this down. I don't mind the lyrics, actually. I don't dislike them maybe as much as you do, but
I don't dislike them. I just don't find anything. I'm not going to grasp anything about it.
And I think that there are melodic moments on this that work for me. But again, it's just that lack of
dynamic range throughout it. I think it's let down by not putting his voice at the forefront. It's kind of like in the mixer, everybody is at the same level. When really I want to hear him, and I want to hear more of his personality in it, because on this he sounds emotionally quite flat. Whereas when you watch live performances, he is this huge personality. Like, he's this incredibly likable, dynamic performer. And it that just does not, like, if you didn't know that already, if you hadn't seen them live, I think you just think he was an old crank by listening to this. And I know Future Islands fans are going to be really mad, and I am sorry, but I found very, very little to enjoy on this. It wasn't that I disliked it. It was just that I found it very unmemorable. And by the time I get maybe 5 or 6 songs into it, I'm so ready to just go and listen to like The War on Drugs or Beach House or bands that are doing this, but much, much better, in my opinion. And it's a shame.
Well, you mentioned Beach House earlier, and you said, you know, they've done the same thing, but they haven't. They've often, like, you know, they've brought some shoegaze element into some albums.
Yeah, but
they've
gone more dreamy
on others.
Yeah, those are tweaks, though. They're still kind of remaining within the same.
Yeah, but the template is the same, but like...
Whereas with this, it's like the same. Like, it's
yeah, there's enough contrast in those albums where you're like, oh, this justifies making a different album. This just feels like maybe these songs were made 6 years ago and they've just done them again. Or something like that. That's what it kind of feels like. And even, you know, the only thing that the bio really says, other than the fact it was recorded with engineer Steve Wright in Baltimore, is that they officially added their drummer, Mike Lowry, to the band. Like, you could not have told me that the drummer wasn't part of the band before this, because I can rarely distinguish between this and anything that came before it. Maybe he was played on it and he just wasn't paid as much. I don't know. But, like, it just seems quite strange.
This is a band that I want to like, because I think he's got bags of personality. He's got a really distinctive voice and he can do very interesting things with his voice. But I don't think that this album, and as well, I mean, I feel like these are all songs that were either written or recorded completely in isolation to each other and then put together without listening through the album, because I don't find any cohesion in how it's formatted, in how, like, songs going into the next song. I can't find anything to kind of any through line there. They just feel like a collection of songs that are extremely similar to each other in terms of their dynamics and in terms of their production, even in terms of, you know, the synth effects that are used on every song. And I think just had they kind of diversified it a little bit, I would have liked it a bit more, but unfortunately this isn't the album that's going to get me into them. But I do like singles though. So I'm glad to have come to that album now.
Well, Samuel T. Herring, like, you know, the thing about him as well is that, like, he has rapped before. He has had a rap career in like a kind of a, you know, solo kind of like side project capacity.
Yeah.
But as Hemlock Ernst, and he has a collection of music with Madlib called Trouble Knows Me.
Like, he just seems like a completely gas guy. Like, and I want
definitely.
I want more of that. I want more personality, like, because he's just seems like a madman. I love that. You're great, babe. Head right, call me late. Making moves is a 22. Grab a satchel for the night. Side game, ankle duct tape on a cable. Held my pants up, eyes unstable. Now I'm on cable. Sperry tops never fit me right. Quarter life Christ had me pissing on the floor at night. 4 to 5 wine at the bottom of a quarter pipe. Mad dog foaming at the mouth of some cherry pie. Should I take you home? I'm hungry for the 4th of July. Fireworks burst in my mind's eye. There you go. Like, I mean, that's something that you do not hear on a Future Put that on the album.
Maybe it's about time they did something like that and, like, you know, did something a bit different.
Yeah, I think so.
I'd like that's our feedback for them anyway.
More rapping.
maybe just a bit more imagination beyond the template.
Yeah.
The template's good. It looks good. It sounds
good. But it's a good starting point. It's a good place to jump off from. It's not a conveyor belt. Like, you can't treat all your music just because something worked once. You can't expect it to keep working, I think.
And you know what? It is unusual in this day and age to find a band who have not evolved in that way. It does feel like unusual. It's been a while since they've had this kind of criticism for an album we've reviewed, that it sounds the same as everything else that's gone before.
I mean, like, I think, if you get into kind of dad rock territory, that's definitely true. So maybe they're going down that road. But I don't know. Yeah, it is odd to not have even a little bit of experimentation, especially like there's been a lot of artists recently who've brought out like a kind of off the wall record, and some of them don't work, but I admire that they do it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, this is just a bit
Very
of a
good.
Shame. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, that's Future Islands. Album is called As Long As You Are. And this is one of the slower songs from it, which is called Thrill.
Blue water, black Bible, old river, come quietly, just asking, a glass of water, you don't know me, don't try me, nobody gonna pick me up, I'm falling down, and I'm Fair Street bound, now nobody won't fail me. Seen it on the news, look like me and you. Did they hear me calling?
No, we've had some breaking news.
What? What's breaking news?
Mercury goes into retrograde today until November 3rd.
Tell me exactly what that means.
It means everything's going to go all weird and fucky. And
now everything's been good for the last weeks.
That's because Mercury was behaving herself on November 3rd. So that means, right, on Halloween night, we have a super blue blood moon while Mercury is in retrograde. I think, is it going to be the purge? Are we just going to purge? Is everyone purging on Halloween? Can we start that now? Can we start the campaign for the purge?
Why not?
Shout out to @Griffsky on Twitter for that information. I'm now suitably terrified. Things should go back to normal the day after my birthday. So that's fun.
Great.
Yeah. What else have I been doing?
Well, hold on. What day is your birthday? November what?
All Souls Night.
All Souls.
November 2nd. Yeah.
No wonder you're such a spooky season.
I'm a Scorpio. What can I say? What else have I been doing? I watched Zodiac. And it's very good. I haven't seen it in years.
You've seen it before.
Seen it before, oh yeah. But I hadn't seen it in a few years. And man, it just holds up really well. It's so hard to make a good sort of eerie investigative film where you don't find out who did it at the end. And for it to still be really satisfying. I think when I rewatched it, I was newly impressed by how satisfying the ending is, despite not knowing. And I think all the performances are fantastic. They're really brilliant. So that was the film.
Yeah, I watched it a few years ago and it did stand up for sure.
It's great. I have more trash TV. If you'd like it.
Trash TV Corner with Andrea.
Trash TV Corner. So Channel 4 have produced this program called Married at First Sight. So you might remember I was into, I think, were you watching it as well?
Love it. What was it called?
Love at First Sight.
Love at First
Sight. Yeah. I can't believe we've forgotten it.
That was this year.
Was that this year?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Jesus. Well, Married at First Sight, I think was originally made in Australia, and I think there's been a couple of American seasons as well, but this is the first UK season and Channel 4 producing it. It's your basic two strangers get married, three professional matchmakers put them together or whatever, and
the two couples on it, like one of the couples, they're sort of getting on. Like last night was week two of it, so they went in their honeymoon, and one of them's kind of getting on, but I don't see it lasting. It's just a bit, they're kind of young as well. But this other couple, oh, Dave and Shireen, oh my God, she is just such a wagon. She's not having any of it. If anyone out there is watching this, DM me and I will chat to you about it, because she's an absolute wagon. Like she's, so basically he is like a, he's like an outdoorsy guy. So as a honeymoon present, he made her like an emergency kit, you know, like a bag with like an EpiPen and some plasters and a little thing, a little kind of stick thing that helps you break glass on a car in case you get stuck in a car. It's a bit odd, right? But it's quite sweet. He's like, I'm into this stuff. I'm a survivalist-y sort of guy. You're claiming to be this outdoorsy person. Here's a nice little pack of things you might need while you're in the outdoors, like a compass. She freaks out. She's like, oh my God, I don't know if we are morally aligned with each other. And I can't work out what she's on about. She's an absolute wagon. And I hate her. And she's too good for Dave. And Dave is very sweet. And he looks a bit like David Byrne. Yeah, that's my trash TV recommendation. I think it's all up on All Four at the minute. And that's it. Taskmaster is back tomorrow, again on Channel 4.
You're enjoying Bake Off, presumably?
Enjoying Bake Off, yeah. Yeah.
As ever.
People were complaining this week on Twitter that, what's her name, didn't go home, Lottie, because Paul Hollywood fancies her. Because he's like...
Right.
Did you watch it last night?
I did. I watched it. Yeah. I didn't notice any glances, but I wasn't looking for
them.
Oh,
you should, yeah.
Were they strong?
Look out for it next week. Paul is just, he's besotted. Like, it's very funny.
I do enjoy her nonchalant, chaotic energy that she has.
And, I really like her. Yeah.
I would prefer if she was in it, but only on merit, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
It definitely seemed like they just kept her in just to, because she was a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, yeah. She's got a lot of, like, personality as well. Like, she's quite funny. She gets along with Noel really well. I think Noel is a bit of a crush on her as well, but yeah, really enjoying Bake Off. I think that's all I've been doing, otherwise just Gogglebox usual,
racing through The Sopranos still. God, I'll stop talking about The Sopranos someday, but I'm on about to start episode 11 of season 6, which means there's 10 or 11 episodes left, so we're getting there slowly but surely. And if you're self-isolating in your room, you will probably end up watching more episodes of The Sopranos. I was doing, as a precaution over the weekend, I was not seeing anybody in case. And so watched more Sopranos. Apparently, Flaming Lips did one of those shows where everybody was in bubbles. So that happened.
Is that live footage?
Yeah, everyone's in a bubble. And
like a Zorb? Of course.
Yeah, like what they do with their shows, except for everyone was in it.
Oh,
it seems to be a music video that they've done. So yeah, that's happening. And Spinal Tap are getting back together to play for the Pennsylvania Democrats, which is just weird.
Do we need that?
No, we don't
need
that.
No,
we don't need that. When I watched Spinal Tap recently, as much as I enjoyed it, I was like, it's pretty dated.
Mm.
It's really good, but it's like, we don't need, like, who is that going to connect to? Anyway.
Mm.
That's it. What else have I been doing? Nothing really. I'm the same old, to be honest.
That's fine.
Not much going on with me. Everything I've been listening or doing or watching is the same as everything in the last few
years. Same
weeks.
As it ever was. Look, it's bound to happen at some stage.
Yeah, I'm okay with
much okay. Like Future Islands, we've slipped into monotony.
Oh, snap. We'll see. On that cutting note, on that bombshell,
we will leave you
for this week's podcast. Hopefully we'll be back next week, COVID-free, as ever. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Andrea, thank you very much.
Thank you, Niall. Thank you, listeners.
Maybe we'll finish with a bit of Loa and Bantam from their new song, NGLA.
Bye.
Bye.
Dress. And here we are, it's the Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Tsinis.
Kayla Tsinis. I'm Kayla Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.